Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Well, Jamie, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest humans doing it anywhere. Truly a booking coup by super producer Anna Hosnier. He's a comedian, actor, writer, recently named a comic you should and will know by Vulture, which is like a very threatening way to say someone is going to be famous, but I agree. His show with Kelly Bachman, Rape Victims Are Horny Too, was number 2 on Paste Magazine's 12 Best Comedy Albums of 2022. It is the brilliant, the talented Dylan Adler! Oh
my God. That is the nicest introduction. Thank you guys so much for having me on the podcast.
You will know his name.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Jamie Loftus did the thing. Jack O'Brien, my woman king.
Yes!
Anna Hosnia, you're a genius. Justin Smith, you are all of us. So
there we go.
I was waiting for our audience to send that to us, and I'm glad you brought it. Was it you who tweeted that it slept on how she says Hong Chow?
No one was talking about, everyone was talking about Angela Bassett, but no one was talking about how she was like, Hong Chow, Dolly Dean. It was really slept on, I think.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring that into the discourse.
It resonated. I'm thinking about it days later.
Same.
I feel like we just like covered that briefly, but it has really resonated. It's like the Adele Dazeem, John Travolta thing that just has sort of not gone away. Like that performance, I feel like, is just still with us.
It's going to get really, we're enjoying it now. And then we're going to be upset that people, because then everyone is going to learn about it. And then it's going to be bad for a while, but then it'll come back. It's like Borat impressions. It comes in waves.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree.
I brought it up the other day and crickets, Jack O'Brien, nothing. Nothing.
For me, yeah. I feel like I haven't fully absorbed to like all of the intricacies. I'm one of the people who will be making references to it in 8 years. like, and we'll be like enough. When people are over it. Yeah, exactly.
Jack's finally taken Angela Bassett doing the thing in.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it takes that long for it to marinate. It's such a rich text.
It's a rich text.
It is.
Thank you.
It is.
Yeah. And so it is not my fault, Jamie.
No,
the richness of the text.
It's not your fault.
It's actually that I am treating it appropriately and taking my time getting into it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Steeping.
You're right. Steeping. I was being a huge bitch, and I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'm glad you picked up what I was...
I just got the message you sent me on Zoom, so I just am reading what you sent to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
What is something from your search history?
Oh, my God. I'm going to be painfully honest right now, okay? There is one thing and one thing only in my search history all weekend. This is a shame for myself that I'm admitting this, but it is all Vanderpump Rules related. Do we know about this epic drama that has unfolded over the weekend by any chance in the Vanderpump Rules universe?
Completely.
Oh my God. I can give you the quickest rundown of all time.
All right. So that's what our show is about, actually. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
Vanderpump Rules. Let's go.
Vanderpump Rules is the greatest reality television show ever created. I don't watch other reality shows. I have no basis for this whatsoever. I don't know if I've ever seen a Real Housewives, but this show is a bunch of monstrous single people that live in West Hollywood, working at a restaurant, acting like absolute dipshits because they all had no money and they would spend it all. But now they all have money and it's so much worse. But this is... This is the rundown. Is this one guy, Tom Sandoval, cheated on his girlfriend of 9 years with Raquel. I'm just going to throw the names out there.
Yeah.
With Raquel, who is...
These are all characters on the show, unless otherwise noted. Okay.
Yes. Raquel has been making out with Tom Schwartz, Tom Sandoval's business partner and best friend, who just got divorced from his wife, Katie, of 12 years, right after Raquel called off her engagement to James, who used to date Kristen, who used to date Tom. It's great.
Oh, my God.
They all dating each other. It's like high school theater.
Yeah. They're really giving up. Like, whatever we thought Tristan Thompson drama was with Khloe Kardashian, I'm telling you, this is 10 trillion times worse. It's incredible. I'm in a chokehold. I can't stop thinking about
it. Okay. I love this. I also love that, you know, like Vanderpump Rules is a great name. Like, I've been to, what's the bar in WeHo that is from somebody from that show?
Sir.
Yes,
yeah, there's so many now, yeah.
But that was the original one, right? That's like the OG. I've been there. I just love the name. I've never watched it. I only watched The Challenge and The Bachelor. And then I had a reality show podcast where I had to pretend like I actually watched reality shows. So spoiler alert, I lied. but they paid me. But I just really just love that name. It has like the best name, I think, out of any of
it
the
does.
Reality shows. Vanderpump
it really does.
Rules.
Yeah. It's kind of giving O'Doyle Rules a little.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, a little bit.
Like,
okay. So you're saying the drama is there?
It's so great.
My question is, like, are they all sleeping with one another because they know that they're all characters on the show and, like, they want, like, the way that a royal family will intermarry within the family because they want to consolidate power and, like, keep all the money for it, keep all the power for themselves? Like,
yeah.
is something, because that web of social and sexual connections between the characters, like, reminds me of like the Habsburg family tree, you know, like it's just so interwoven. And
yeah,
I wonder if there's some incentive there.
I feel like that was a very generous comparison.
Yeah. Well, if you know, yeah, I mean, it didn't end up so well for the Habsburgs, but
I'm sure they think they're the royal family. I mean, they are, I would say, unfortunately, the royal family of Bravo right now, you know, so they,
right.
I think there's something to that. These particular people in question, I don't know how to mince words, they are absolute losers. So I just think people in public probably won't sleep with them. I don't know why. I just assume, blanket statement, you see this man's face, he looks like a generic Harry Styles wannabe,
okay.
In the worst way. And
Because there's a good way to look like a generic Harry Styles wannabe.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's
a base model Harry Styles. That's good. But no, yeah. This guy looks like he wants to be Harry Styles so bad, and he sees a flare pants and he just buys it. Like, that's, there's no questions asked. But it's, I mean, my favorite part about the whole thing, and listen, I know you guys don't know this drama, but I'm so excited to talk about it. But this whole thing, the best part is that he dressed up as his mistress for Halloween in front of his current girlfriend, and they all hung out together. How crazy is
that? Damn. Drama.
How crazy is that?
Drama. That is drama. Just like,
it would be funny, babe. Yeah, I think it would be funny. And then, what a mess.
It's such a mess. I am under a spell. Open my phone. I try to look at other things, and I literally can't.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't.
I can't.
You can't. Yeah. You are hooked F. You are hooked F.
I really am.
What is something, Ben, that you think is overrated?
All right. Now, not everyone's going to agree. And Jack, you know that you and Miles both know, I typically don't like saying things are overrated. Everybody's got their own experiences. Mm-hmm. Big concerts, you know, I mean, Ticketmaster is a pain in the keister anyway. Thank you. Right. Sorry.
I'm agreeing. I'm silently agreeing with Ben.
Oh, don't be silent.
I'm raising my voice. No longer. Defense.
Don't be silent anymore. Sorry, it's your day.
Right. Silence is violence.
So, big concerts, you know, everybody was excited to get back to them after a shutdown in the U.S. occurred. I went to one. I'm not going to say which one, but I was like, okay, first off, fucking Ticketmaster. And then secondly, there are lines everywhere. Every imaginable drink is way more expensive than it should be. And then you get in and there's this massive press of people. And if you're in a paranoid position like I usually am, you're thinking, where are the exits? What if this goes wrong? These thousand or several hundreds of people are very excited, usually to hear maybe 3-4 songs. And then it's just a bad look. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know. It just, what do you guys think? Are big concerts overrated?
And plus, your peepers can't see the damn artists on stage. Sorry, no, it's not. I don't know. I find concerts to be things that I don't look forward to, and always like what they do to the artists' work, like after I've seen them, is usually worth it to me. Like I really like, for whatever reason, like just seeing someone perform live makes me really appreciate their work a lot more. And
I love that part. Sure.
Creates some value for me. But yeah, I mean, I'm also not like, I haven't been to a big concert in many years. So
I don't know if I've ever been to what qualifies as a big concert, like in an amphitheater or something, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right.
But as a person with crowd anxiety, I am extremely on your side, Ben. I don't like, it hasn't always been that way. It started, you know, I used to be able to go to big music festivals outside and not have a problem. And then I kept going to them. And then I started feeling really crazy and being like, I need to leave, you know?
It's so many people. It's just so many people.
Since COVID, it has not improved. My cat is really upset that I'm not paying attention to her, so she just knocked something on my desk.
I was gonna, what's your cat's name?
Myla.
Shout out Myla.
Shout out Myla, International Women's Day Queen.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I can't do that anymore. And I always kind of thought, sometimes I see video, you know, people go see Beyonce or whatever and got those like nosebleed seats, and you know, there's big screens that show you the artist, but I'm like, you might as well just be watching a video of this concert, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's not thank for me. You. I was back.
But the fun part, part of that is that you're watching the screen and then taking a video of the screen. So you're watching the screen through your screen. So there's like 4 levels of things happening, but you are in the same physical space. So there's a chance that like.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of like one time I went to go see this rapper, and I was I had a disposable like flash camera. And so I raised it up to try and take a picture of the rapper on stage. And what I ended up with, because of the strength, you know, the limited strength of the flash, was a picture of a bunch of people raising their cell phones. You can't see what's going on stage at all. But
the only accurate picture of a concert
truly
ever taken.
That's how they know you were really there. Right?
Yeah.
So exactly. Like the thing that I will just say, there's a brief backstory here in Atlanta, Georgia. An up and coming musician named Taylor Swift had a concert. And I don't know if you all have heard of this person, but I see big things for them in the future. Mm-hmm. And everyone in the places I would go to walking around my usual sketchy reprobate cruise, they were all very excited. And then we're all like, oh, Ben, we're going to this Taylor Swift concert. And I would say, well, you're like the 40th person I know who is going now. And you might want to hurry up. Yeah. I think there's going to be a line, dude. Yeah. And it just soured me. You know, no disrespect to the artists, because touring is one of the primary ways they make their money now that so many big studios or production companies have become poisonous. Yield my time.
But when somebody does a residency in Las Vegas, I think that's the only way to truly see someone, because then the crowd is thin enough because everybody is they're doing the same show day after day. They have it down by heart. You're getting to see a robotic version of them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is all to say I really want to see Katy Perry in Las Vegas. I've just come to that conclusion in the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going Carrot Top, but you know what? Let's meet up for dinner.
Okay. I'm in. Amory, what's something you think is underrated?
Well, this isn't going to do anything to disprove Ben's accusations that I am an old woman, but...
Hard candy.
They're both elderly things, but I'm sticking to my guns and I'm going to say flossing. Flossing is highly underrated. You don't know all the shit you're missing in your teeth until you start flossing. And then once you start, you'll never go back because you know exactly what's in there and what you got out. And everyone should be flossing. So that's, I'm sticking to it.
Spicy take.
Thank you.
I am now flossing daily for the first time in my life.
Really?
I have yet to have my teeth cleaning like follow-up like final exam is how I'm viewing it. So I'm like, I've never had a cavity in my life, and I'm like thinking that like for some reason this is going to be like the first time I had like, so
you get a cavity.
Yeah, I get a cavity from flossing somehow. I actually have talked to a dentist who was saying that like your mouth is constantly at war between like cavities and gum disease. Like those are the two things that can be going on in your mouth. But like, it's kind of one or the other because they're like caused by like bacteria that are like at war with one another. And so if you're not a cavity person, you probably are dealing with gum disease and or like vice versa.
I would hope you would have thrown like, party in there at the very least, like cavities, gum disease, or party. Like there's a party in your mouth.
Yeah, there's a party in your mouth. That's something making,
a bacteria party.
Yeah,
your breath smell like shit. Yeah. Ben, how about you? What's something you think is underrated?
The Hold My Nip subreddit, I really like.
The Hold what?
I know what it sounds like. The Hold My Nip subreddit. And this is, of course, something that we've discovered through making Endless Thread over the years and looking at a lot of stories on Reddit. And, you know, you get into some weird subs. And I got into this sub a while ago now. It's part of the constellation of cat-related subreddits. And I don't know if you've heard of Hold My Beer. You know, so Hold My Chardonnay. Hold My Cosmo. And so this is just footage of cats high on catnip. And it's, I find it to be very, you know, just to bring me a little bit of light and joy when I'm feeling gloomy. Hold My Nip is good.
High animals. That's a, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not pro getting your animals high necessarily. So I'm not sure, you know, I don't know. Maybe folks feel weird about catnip in general, but I will watch it on the internet and I will enjoy it. So
amazing. We just found out about Shower Orange as a subreddit. So this is a new
one. Oh, yeah.
We'll be diving into.
We've got a whole episode about that. About Shower Orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still haven't partaken. Did you guys, for the purposes of research, partake in the shower?
Oh, yeah. Lounge?
Yeah.
Ben did. I think you recorded some in the shower, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
I still haven't tried it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
It's amazing.
It lives up to the hype?
Oh, 100%. Nice. I mean, citrus oil in general in your zone is a good thing, I think. But in the shower, it's even better. It's great.
One of our listeners said, actually, pomelo, shower pomelos are the way to go.
That's a good
pomelo, I guess is how you pronounce that. Anyways.
It's a grapefruit, right? Let's be honest.
It's a grapefruit with a lot of like puffy padding around it. But yeah, it's like a sweeter grapefruit. They are wonderful.
Ooh.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
And we're back. And so there were a couple of Florida stories. By the way, did everybody enjoy their shower oranges? Are we shower orange people?
Yeah. We're all sopping wet and on yeah. the Zoom call.
Yeah.
I unfortunately couldn't decide because I hadn't done enough research on how to peel the orange. And, you know, there's so many opinions out there, whether you should just break it in half or, you know.
I dove in like a starving monkey.
And
I would recommend that approach. That was good advice.
Yeah. Amazing.
I'm a part of the showering orange community. I'm coming out as that.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations. So, brave.
Yeah. Wow. Gave us the scoop and everything. Unbelievable. A comedian we should and will know comes out as a shower orange community member.
This will be just as powerful as that Ellen thing.
Yeah.
Just as big.
In Florida, just a couple stories from last week about Florida politicians trying to turn the state of Florida into a like dystopian right-wing police state and like more than they already have, I guess, with the book bans. Mm-hmm. This seems like it's an overall strategy where Ron DeSantis is like picking a fight with everyone who's not a right wing like MAGA person, and then will use that to as like free publicity for his campaign, which has kind of been his, it's what his entire career has been based on. So first, last week, there was one that I think we can mostly dismiss as just like a stunt. It was from a Republican state senator, a Senate bill that they're trying to use to render the Democratic Party non-existent, dubbed the Ultimate Cancel Act.
Oh, and they're, God.
Wow.
They're like, this is, you want to cancel us? Well, we're canceling the Democratic Party. People,
there is like
who's the snowflake now? You know,
right wing politicians really do have a way with just like the most like lobotomized turn of phrase that you could possibly come up with, but it usually that it's sticky. It sticks in my head. That makes no sense,
sticky and like
it's
an like
it's sticky. Well, not my shoe. Well, you were doing it wrong, Jack.
I know
it shouldn't be getting sticky.
I ripped it open after I got out of the shower and dried off.
You're not being
off
a very
with it?
Good ambassador for our community right now.
Yeah, I'll say that much.
Some people have compared the bill to when the Nazis did away with all other political parties, but it seems like it's more of a like publicity stunt intended to expose the hypocrisy of cancel culture and the guy who's behind it. Like, I mean, he's very powerful, like he used to be the head of the Republican Party in Florida, but he does just seem like kind of a carnival barker who's looking for an audience. Like, I don't know. I can't see this actually happening, or if it does, like actually affecting policy all that much. But it just that's what's hard about Florida these days is like it's easy to be like, Ron DeSantis is just like talking about Disney and not paying attention to things that actually affect people's lives. But then he actually signs laws affecting taxation and is just like super powerful, and then like bans books in children's libraries. And like we see like video of people of empty elementary school libraries, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've had friends whose books are no longer like allowed in Florida. It's like it's ridiculous. And yeah. I like the it's fun to dunk on Ron DeSantis, and we should, and we're right to do it. But I think, yeah, like one of the scariest things about him is that he's like not an idiot. Like
right.
he and I feel like he's like developing this, and maybe this falls under this category, because like the language of the Ultimate Cancel Act, like, it sounds like a like mustache twirling cartoon villain, like cancel right. the filings of a political party if the party's platform is previously advocated for or been in support of like involuntary servitude or slavery. Like it's just like word yeah. salad. But it seems like even with the Disney stuff and the horrible book that he's releasing, like it almost reminds me of times that, like, you know, Donald Trump would do like the dumbest thing he could think of when he was about to pass some really scary legislation. So you would talk about the dumb thing and not pay attention to this, to the thing that actually harms people. And it feels like DeSantis is like really getting a feel for that pattern.
Yeah,
I know, because part of it, like, it's obviously like righteous to dunk on him. And it also, it reminds me of that, remember that video going around of like, woke moralists, we'll see who cancels who. Like, remember that video?
Jordan Peterson?
Yeah. That guy, yes, yes, yes. It reminds me of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that video.
It's so fun. We'll see who cancels who. He sounded so weird.
Yeah.
He says it like he's about to like take off in a Flintstones car.
Exactly.
Afterwards. Oh, God.
I know. But yeah, he wields a lot of power. He is a very powerful and scary figure that can do a lot of harm in his state.
Yeah. And so the other one that on its face seems kind of similarly just easy to dunk on and dismiss, but actually is probably very scary in reality. They're going after bloggers. they proposed a bill that would require bloggers to register with the state if they're going to write any stories about DeSantis or other Florida politicians, which is pretty scary. Yeah. I mean, it's, and they, like, the way they're doing it, they're like, they would be required to submit monthly reports, including disclosing their pay, or else risk being fined by the government. Which, is this a scheme to expose how underpaid bloggers are, or like that they're not paid? Because I don't know what they think bloggers are being paid, or what do I not know what bloggers are? Is that what's happening?
Does the person who wrote this know what bloggers are? That seems like a really, really broad, like, did they write it 15 years ago?
I don't even know what a blog is. Like, Perez Hilton was a blogger. Like, who? I've not read a blog in so many years.
Is this a Tumblr-specific piece of legislation? Like,
yeah.
Who's funding all these Tumblrs that are making memes about me, Ron DeSantis? And it's, like, they just assume. I don't know, because they do have a big, like, contingent of their strategy is paying bloggers who just write, like, hagiographic, like, just love letters to Ron DeSantis. So, like, I'm wondering if they assume that because they have to, they need, like, billionaire secret funders for all of their media, that, like, that's true of everyone criticizing them as well. And so that's where they're coming from. But it really seems misguided. But at the same time, like, it could... very easily be the first step in, like, a very slippery slope, right?
Where it's like they're doing it in MySpace first, and they're like, oops, now we're going to do it on another platform. Right. Like, they...
Okay, so you guys don't do blogs anymore. We get it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, reset. Like, that's... It's just... God, I do... I mean, this is, like, a really scary... I mean, it seems like they're just trying to, what, like, suppress any potential criticism of DeSantis and just like curb free speech. Sick. Love that. Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if this vocabulary choice blows up in their face, that would be kind of funny. But it just sounds like you could apply, like, isn't, like, technically Twitter is, like, micro blogging. Am I, like, inventing that? I feel like that's what it was called when it came out.
Oh, right.
Question mark.
So, like, everyone
expression
who tweets,
of your opinion is a blog. Like,
any tweet about Ron DeSantis will need to be officially licensed by the Florida government.
How do you fucking enforce something like that? God. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just hope that they're not smart enough to be able to even follow through with such a thing. But yeah, it does feel pretty suppressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to unionize all my psychic friends in Florida. I gotta see.
Right?
The last time I talked to a psychic in Florida, he was like, and it was like, I think it was like he was like dissing me a little bit. Ooh, I don't remember the last time I've said diss, but
it was awesome.
He was like, thank you so much. He's like, well, as far as where you're gonna end up, you are not welcome in Florida. And I was like, oh my God.
Wait, that's kind of a compliment.
Right.
I know. Well, it's like he was like, he loved being in Florida, but he was like, clearly something's off. And then
Florida's not for you, honey.
Florida's not for me. And it's like, you know what? Fine. I accept that.
Yeah. Was he saying you're not allowed in Florida, or you're not allowed to retire to Florida when he said
he just sort of said me in Florida. That we, it's not
as
gonna
far
work.
As where
it's
you
not
end
work.
Up is a weird, yeah, it's a weird way.
Yeah, I mean, and it's he. I mean, he's fascinating. He's this guy, Lewis Gates. He's got a YouTube channel. I watch it. He's doing all sorts of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. He said I have no place in Florida. Florida's not for me. And then he's like, maybe she's a little more bi-coastal. And I was like, yeah.
There you go.
Thank you so much, Lewis.
Yeah, thank you. Congratulations to you. James.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about the opposite of Marxism. The Wall Street Journal had this article that Americans are encountering more problems with companies' products and services than ever before, and a higher proportion of them are actively seeking, quote, revenge for their troubles, a new study has found, which is intense. So
what do they mean by revenge?
It's I think it's like writing nasty comments, like sending letters, you know, doing, reaching out to the company and
snitching demanding. To the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just any sort of follow-up action that's taken. Yes.
Okay.
But they the revenge is definitely what drew my attention. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I don't know. So it's up. So some 74%,
she wants revenge is getting back together, but they're called Customers Want Revenge.
Yes. 74% of the 1,000 customers surveyed said they had experienced service problems in the last year, which is up 66% from 2020. And, you know, more and more of them are seeking this vengeance, you know, a Kill Bill style revenge saga against Southwest Airlines or, you know.
Training in kung fu.
That is the picture they used was a, you know, some Southwest Airlines consumer facing person at an airport looking like they were 12 hours away from all of their hair falling out from just having to deal with just horrific toxicity.
Well, shit, I wonder why.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
I hope nobody is actually yelling at the people who are working because they're not in charge of the fuckery. You know what I mean? Like every time you have a problem at the counter of some place, yelling at that person is not going to get back to the person who is responsible. You know,
exactly.
I don't know. I think it's very convenient for corporations to do that.
Exactly.
There's like my immediate thought is, of course, this has to do with all the supply line bullshit. Where like I know somebody who got their catalytic converter stolen off their car, needs a new catalytic converter. And so they're having a problem where all of the mechanics are like, we don't have any and we don't know when we're going to get any.
Yeah.
So we don't know when we can fix your car. And so it's not a customer complaint towards the mechanic. The mechanic has nothing to do with it, but there's definitely customer dissatisfaction. So, you know, if you were to survey and be like, do you have problems being a consumer? We'd be like, yeah, but it doesn't have to. It's not because the service is bad. It's because the shit's not there.
Yes. And I think the service is bad in a lot of these cases, like with the airlines or, you know, even with car companies, like the car companies used to, like prior to the pandemic, were like more, it was like more of a buyer's market. And now it's more of a fuck you, this is what we have market. And
were they understaffed?
Yes, because they're wildly fucking understaffed. Everybody is so completely understaffed. Like the Southwest Airlines thing is like all of the benefits of this current system fall to like the C-suite and the people who are making decisions like at the higher levels in the companies, who are the only thing they have to pay attention to in order to do their job and to feel like they're successful at the job is like how Wall Street is the only incentive that they have to care about. And then all of the customer facing employees and the consumers themselves are just like fighting a war between each other and just like becoming more and more miserable. And like, I think this is invisible. Like, this is the sort of thing that we just kind of, it's like a, this is water type thing. It's like the weather is getting slowly worse, but we're not noticing it because we're just living in it day to day. But, you know, all of these consumer indices have gotten like way, way worse since they started tracking them in like the 1970s. They just get worse and worse and worse because everything has gotten less and less and less regulated. And the only thing that these companies have to pay any attention to is their stock prices. So they cut employees. They just do these things that make it impossible for the people at the lowest levels who are dealing with the consumers and make the consumers' experience worse. And of course, none of this is mentioned in the Wall Street Journal article. The only way that it registers to them is they're like, you know, every time an angry consumer contacts a company, that company is losing money. And that's one way to view it.
Of
course,
I don't think that even makes sense.
Just because it's wasting their time. So you have to like spend resources on dealing with it, and also probably is like bad marketing. So like,
I guess, but if you deal with it well, then the customer will come back. And so then are you making money?
But you have to pay money to deal with it. Well, like that's the damned thing about this market. Like the if you're going to let the free market run your country, you have to acknowledge that this essentially means your country doesn't work. Like this this system.
Tell me more, Jack.
Yeah, like it. Well, like they're just they feel like oh, that's wasted time and wasted money, like spent dealing with angry customers. And if we all just agree to treat customers like shit, then like they don't really have another option.
Well, this also kind of feels like one of those things where it's like, you know, that the fallacy that like the rate of left-handedness went up after left-handedness stopped being categorized as like a medical deficiency and started right. being categorized as just an alternate way of fucking writing.
Yes.
And so then the rate went up because people weren't being forced to write with their non-dominant hand anymore. And this right. feels like that, where it's like, you know, now that we have the internet and Yelp and every company has to have a website and a Twitter and an Instagram, there are so many more ways for angry customers to tell you how angry they are. So it's I don't know if they're angrier or if they just have easier access to you to tell you that they're upset, because it used to be when you were mad at an airline that you could basically go fuck yourself, but now you can tweet at them and they have to pay attention.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, they've been investing in like cute social media, like Southwest Airlines is like, Mondays, am I right? And then like, so they have like somebody who they, you know, pay a lot of money to like give their corporate brand a fucking like lovable personality.
Right.
And at the same time, like satisfaction with Southwest Airlines couldn't be lower, because that's like they don't fucking need to care about the consumer, because that is how the system is set up. It's just allowing them to focus on creating shareholder value.
Yeah, let's okay, this is something I want to go back to here. So the American Customer Satisfaction Index, in my experience on a couple of different projects, innocuous names are sort of a flag, and I want to figure, like, is it crooked? That's my question. Is it like the American Consumer Satisfaction Index brought to you by Raytheon or whatever? You know, like,
right.
yeah.
like is this, I mean, it's very easy through any number of proxies and platforms to make something like that that appears to be a nonprofit. And the people working there, the people doing that research may actually not know the ultimate arbiters of it. You know, like what is also, I don't trust the Wall Street Journal. I'm sorry.
No, I don't either. But it's just funny to see how they, I think they're taking a real like signal that they're getting that the consumer experience across all these different things is getting worse. And they're just treating it as like a symptom that like corporate CEOs need to pay attention to, like when crunching the numbers on their spreadsheets, as opposed to like a very real, like broad scale problem that is happening in the country, where like they just like don't have to give a shit about like, you know, the consumers of their products or the people who work for them at the lower level. And they keep firing people because it's like fashionable to do so. And so it's just this world that is being run by people who like have absolutely no connection to what our lived experiences are like out in the world interacting with their products.
Unless to Sarah's point, unless they see the tweet, unless they see one of those other platforms, or like, it's probably not them who has TikTok. It might be one of their kids, and their kid is running up and telling the parent, "Ooh, there's something bad," you know, like the president of Norfolk Southern lives here in Atlanta. And, you know, before the heat hit, maybe one of that guy's kids came up and said, "Oh my God, Dad, that looks like people aren't super happy with everything." And he's like, "Well, tell me more about this social media," you know, Monty Burns hands and whatnot. I mean, it's, I think it's a beautiful point that, first off, there's some nomenclature too to unpack. Calling people customers or consumers is a little tricky because it makes them sound like they're not people.
Humans.
Yeah, right. Sure. So it does, though, even if with the problems that you've pointed out here, it does still feel like things are on the rise, but there's a dangerous disconnect in trying to attribute the reasons for that. Like, you made the great point about understaffing. People aren't, like, of course there's a longer line. I was in Amsterdam a while back, and I like got to the airport early to get a plane out because I knew, you know, there were pending strikes. There were also very few people working at the airport. And when people are in a terrible situation, airports are often a terrible situation in general, they were not thinking of looking at the systemic causes. There are people, you know, with a family, and they're trying to get their family to the fucking other airport where they've got the layover because nobody can afford a direct flight from places, you know, and they want someone to blame. And so a lot of people on the front lines of any customer service thing, they're having to be the scapegoats for the people at the top. And I think it's just gross, you know. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
And then those people are being like forced to work, like, that understaffing leads to people who are, you know, being forced to work with the threat of like not having health care or being able to feed their family. And then like the Wall Street Journal will publish an article being like, why are Americans so unhappy? Is it their phones? Is it because they have the language to describe unhappiness now that they are going to therapy? And it's like, no, motherfucker, you have like a brutal, like, yeah, that's a thing.
That Americans are discovering rage.
Right. They know, like, they have the language to address it now. And so they are therefore like aware of their unhappiness. And they're like, what is happening here, guys? Like, how has it gotten worse since the 70s? And it's because
therapy. No, right. You're right, Jack. It's mental health. It's been a scam the whole time. All it does is make people unsatisfied and make women unsatisfied with home life.
But that is like a legitimate thesis that is getting spread around out there instead of, no, the overall economic conditions are worse because you have just allowed Wall Street to run the entire country. And that is what happens. Like, the market doesn't create a functioning society. It creates this.
I'm telling you, the problem with hen houses is the doors are too small, says the fox. You know what I mean? Like, there's an older excellent speech about that, but this idea is kind of nuts too, because we have to realize that there are plenty of like younger generations. If I were a parent right now, I would be a little concerned, which I know sounds very Fox News, but I'm going somewhere good with it. If I was a parent right now, I would be concerned about a kid who one day probably will get a job at some point and has to deal with this. Like, how understaffed can a place be? How long can a line get? Who can afford these things? Like, if you are working at a call center, right? In many cases, your job is to get yelled at for like 8 hours, not counting your mandatory overtime. Yeah. And is that like when your kid tells you about their dream job, when they're like, oh, I want to be, you know, whatever, the first werewolf astronaut on the moon. And then you say, well, you could also.
We've already had many werewolf astronauts on the moon.
Yes.
You're a Comcast fit, I think. You should be on the front lines of the Comcast phones or Xfinity or whatever they're calling them.
Truly. Yeah. Yeah. I am a parent. It's a nightmare scenario.
Com Warner.
They will all be one company, and they're most. Because, I mean, that's the thing, is that like we read about. Like, there are these characters who like get turned into the main characters of the news, and they're all the CEOs. They're like the Elon Musks and like the, you know, the people that the Wall Street Journal like give names and faces to. But the vast majority of the country is the people who are on just like eating shit every day because of the decisions made by those people. And then the only way that that shit eating registers is in like these vague fucking like surveys where they're like consumers indicate that they're like less satisfied and more likely to just quote go fucking berserk as a result of the bad, you know. And it's just like,
if that, things were so hard for the peasants, why do they have so much time to raise so much rabble about this?
Exactly.
Rouse. Damn it. Whatever. Leave it.
And that's the truth, is that we don't have enough time to raise the rabble because we are we're being worked like end to end. And like, that's the thing that I think we saw in 2020 when things like slowed down and everyone like looked around and was like, fuck all of this. And then the economy opened back up. And again, people don't have enough time to raise rabble as they do in at least other countries around the globe. Anyways, true nightmare shit from the Wall Street Journal. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back to talk about Sunny D with vodka.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie? Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. And Creed 3 made all the money. $58.7 million in North America. More than $100 million globally. The biggest opening ever for the Creed Rocky franchise or a sports movie, which that's crazy, man.
That's like, surprising
there's been
to
some
me.
Some big sports movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's surprising to me. Yeah. Ali, it made more than Ali. And well, I guess also, yeah, you know, adjusted for inflation, I guess. But like, because when Ali came out, tickets were $6. But yeah, like, that is still surprising to me.
I mean, Rocky IV was like, I mean, I guess it's different, like, but Rocky IV, like, was the number one movie for like half of the year that it came out. But, you know, I guess they just didn't, people, they only released like 8 movies back then. So you just knew you could catch it the next weekend.
Yeah. And now movies only stay in theaters for 6 days or some shit. Like, it'll be, Creed will be on streaming next month, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it even beat D2 Mighty Ducks Part 2. So,
wow.
You know, it's doing something right. But yeah, I don't know. The other story that like kind of emerged was that Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson went to couples therapy in character for the movie. Tessa Thompson said, "I think the moral of Creed 3 is that all people should go to therapy."
That's pretty much the moral of Creed 3.
Yeah. Presumably did you see people Creed should 3? Go to therapy as themselves, but going as someone else seems to work pretty well too.
Yeah. That's very funny. I did see Creed 3, so I'm going to try my best to not give any spoilers. So no spoilers. Okay. However, I'm going to just give my opinion on the movie. So if you don't want to hear anything, I will just say that to you right now. I had never seen any of the Creeds before this week.
Oh, okay.
Just get that out there. And like, I know like the writers, I know the dude who wrote the first movie, not Ryan Coogler, but his writing partner, Aaron Covington. Shout out Aaron, who also is a writer on Grand Crew, which is out now. So please go watch it.
Yeah,
but Crew. Also like, I just never got around to watching it. I don't know why. It was a movie I've always wanted to see, but I decided to watch both Creeds this week before I went to go see Creed 3 because I really wanted to see Creed 3 because the trailer looked dope. Jonathan Majors is having himself a year. He looks fantastic in it. I wanted to see the movie. I watched Creed 1, Creed 2. Fantastic. Truly fantastic fucking movies. Creed 2, I was high as shit when I watched it. It got me emotional. It was a beautiful movie. It's such a good movie. Creed 3 is a good movie.
Whoa.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Creed 3 is a good movie.
Not what I expected you to say.
Go watch it. Go watch it. I'm telling you, in the grand scheme of movies, it is a good movie. It is worth the watch. It is worth the time to go and enjoy some time at the movie theaters.
It wasn't your favorite
Wasn't my favorite Creed. My favorite Creed. I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. I don't think it is, but I thought it was too short.
Interesting.
That's what I'll say. I think the movie is too short. Mm-hmm. The movie is missing key elements that time would have given the movie that the other two movies had. And I don't know what that is. And I've noticed this recently. Like, a lot of movies are starting to, like, shorten their run. Not a lot, because there's still some three-hour fucking movies. But movies are starting to shorten their runtime a little bit, and studios are starting to make a conscious effort to, all right, maybe you don't need to be in the movie theater for 2.5 hours. And I've always said this. If a movie is good, I don't give a fuck how long it is.
Yeah.
If a movie is good, we'll be there. And I know not everybody's the same, but if the story is compelling, a great movie can make 2.5 hours seem like 90 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A bad movie can make 2.5 hours feel like a whole fucking day. So, like, that's my take on that. I thought the movie was too short. I thought the movie was missing some things, but the movie is still good. Michael B. Jordan is great. These niggas look amazing in this movie. Jonathan Majors is just another planet right now.
Like, they really crushed it with marketing wise. They really knew their audience to some degree because, man, it was a lot of just wet bodies. I'm like, well, I've never seen a boxing movie before, but it was spicy just for 30-second trailers. But
yeah.
The pitch to studio executives was like, we all know Jonathan Majors exists, but what if he was wet?
Yeah.
They were like, what? Like, heads start exploding. Yeah.
Man, that guy's just like Scrooge McDucking his life, diving into money right now. He's got to have so much money. Quantumania, this movie back to back. I mean, I want to see his bank account.
Yeah. I also Lovecraft and.
Yep.
What's the movie he had on
Loki,
Netflix?
He was in Loki.
He was on that Netflix movie, The Harder We Fall. Like, he's just been, and he's great. That's the good thing. I love when an actor is having their moment. Mm-hmm. I love when a black actor is having their moment. And I love that when on top of their black ass moments, they're also fucking fantastic. So it's like, they deserve this. They're not just having a moment because they're having a moment. They're having a moment because they are fantastic. And it's like, Jonathan Majors has it. He is on another planet right now as far as acting goes. And he's doing the damn thing. And I love it.
He really is. I think he's going to be like, he's on his trajectory to be one of the best actors of our generation, hands down.
He's, yeah, he's having his Mahershala Ali moment from like 2-3 years ago.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. But even that felt like Mahershala Ali was like a little, tried to keep it like, so there wasn't so much Mahershala Ali that like we didn't, we weren't left wanting more. But Jonathan Majors is just like suddenly everywhere and everyone's like, yes, feed me, please more. That's a good point though. I don't know. You never hear people say a movie is too short. Like if a movie is a good hang, sometimes it feels too short. And the only complaint is like cranky film critics being like, I have to pick up the kids, wrap it up. And it's like, I don't know if that represents most film fans. Like, if I'm enjoying myself, I'll hang, you know?
Oh, yeah. It beats going out to bars.
Yeah.
I'm such a homebody nowadays. And I'm like, it feels like I'm doing so much more than I am when I go to a movie that's really long. I'm like, yes, I had a full night of fun. I didn't go out. I came home at midnight. And I feel so accomplished at a 3-hour film.
I'm a theater head. I love going to the movies. I love the experience. It's amazing. AMC A-list for life. You know, for those of you who don't have AMCs in your town, it's a movie subscription program. Well, basically 1 month costs the price of one fucking ticket. It's amazing. You can see like 9 movies a month. So I'm in the theaters all the damn time.
Yeah.
And when I say this movie was short, it wasn't just like, I wish that it was longer so I could have been enjoying myself more. I just felt like there were key parts of the story.
They rushed something. Yeah.
That they rushed through. That, especially with me just seeing both Creeds like this week, so it's very fresh in my mind how those stories let all their beats breathe. Mm. In the way that it needed to. That's my complaint on Creed 3. Mm-hmm. However, go watch that shit. Two black leads. Michael B. Jordan's directorial debut. It's a beautiful movie. Shot well. It's a good movie. Yeah. Felicia Rashad. You know, give it up for our mom, Felicia Rashad. It's a good time, y'all. It's a good time.
Yeah, like they don't even fit the boxing, the fight in at the end. They're just like, you get the first round. And then they're like, and yada, yada, yada. You know who wins. Anyways, move. No,
I mean,
that's not true.
Kind of.
That's funny.
Yeah. They focus more on the therapy aspect in that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it really therapy heavy? Like, that's what my main takeaway from this review from Tessa Thompson is that it's a boxing film about therapy first, fighting second. Okay.
Kinda. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I was sitting at a bar one time I think the first Creed came out in 2015, right? I was sitting
somewhere around there.
I was sitting in a bar and I remember so specifically because the guy next to me was like, ugh, just like couldn't keep himself together. And the bartender is like, are you okay? And he's like, Creed's ruining my life. And I'm sitting there so invested. And then he begins to tell the bartender that he used to date Tessa Thompson. I don't think any of this is true.
Right.
But he says he used to date Tessa Thompson and that she left him for the movie Creed.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that doesn't track. Your name is, you have a, you know, a Supreme shirt on. Your name is Nick. I don't think so. No.
Same, bro. I would have just been like, same, bro.
I think he needs to watch this movie and maybe heed Tessa Thompson's words.
Go to therapy. Also, I hope it is true. I hope he did date Tessa Thompson and she left him to go film Creed, because what a ludicrous thing to be upset about. Like, she left your ass to go film a fucking movie.
At some point, you just have to be like, yeah, good call by you, Tessa Thompson.
Yeah.
If you go to a bar and you're just going, ugh, and you make noises, I don't trust anything that's coming out of your mouth after that. I think it's all lies.
Yeah. Ugh. Mmm. Duh.
It's like, what happened to you today? Please tell me.
Everything okay? But anyways, they got like big movies coming out every weekend this month, which is the first time I can remember that. Like Scream 6 is next week, Shazam 2 the week after, John Wick 4. We just need a 5 and we would have the whole thing.
Yeah.
We would have two Dungeons and Dragons Honor Amongst Thieves. Among Thieves, rather, March 31st, which I don't know how that one's going to do, but
we'll see.
That one's- I'm very excited. Listen, I'm very excited. Why is this dude calling me? Oh, sorry. I'm I'm very excited
calling you. Hey, man.
I got shit to get off my chest.
Hey, man. Do you know if you can get me back in contact with Tessa? She left me to do Creed 3 too, man.
And she never came back.
She never came back. But now I completely forget. Oh, I love that. I'm loving, you know, look, for the past, from like basically 2009 up until 2020, the blockbuster lane has been filled almost exclusively with MCU. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking that at all. I had a fucking great time last decade watching the book that was the MCU like unfold on the movie screen. So this isn't me complaining about that. But as someone who's an actor, who's an entertainer, who does movie, like film and TV, and have loved this medium since I was a child, I am loving the reemergence of the original summer blockbuster. Like when we were kids, when like Independence Day was a blockbuster and like Men in Black, basically Will Smith. And then, like, or like, even like Liar Liar being a blockbuster movie, kind of like, or Jaws. Like, I'm loving that. Like,
movie stars were their own genre of movie. There's the Will Smith movie. There was the Jim Carrey movie. There's the Bruce Willis movie. Those were their own genres.
They were their own genres. And I love that Top Gun was fucking like a big movie last year. Like, I love that Creed 3 is a big movie right now. Like, I love that these non-MCU movies are coming back to the theaters and saying, we are putting asses in seats again. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty dope thing that I hope continues. So I'm excited for this year of movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does feel like we've been, like, I've had this sense that, like, some movies over the past couple of years have done better than they would have otherwise because there was just nothing else, like, coming out for, 4 weeks. Like, that, I feel like everybody was scared of Avatar, so they just, like, didn't release that much after Avatar came out. But it's not like Hollywood to leave money on the table, but I guess, you know, film productions are so, you know, they take so long and you have to be greenlighting these things so far in advance that I do feel like they've probably recognized that and started ramping up production. But we're just now seeing it.
I feel like there used to be a box office battle that you actually didn't know who was going to win back in the day. You're like, oh, shoot, these two movies. I mean, half the time it was two similar movies coming out. And you're like, well, why is this happening? Two movies about bugs. Do we need this many movies about bugs? But it was, you never knew which one was going to win. And it was really exciting to watch. And now you just go knowing, okay, everyone's going to see this movie. No one's going to see this movie. And that sucks. I want more movies like that one that no one's seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they should release two movies about planet destroying asteroids every weekend.
Hell yeah.
For in perpetuity. That's my. Yeah. What were the two bug movies? My brain was coming up with a blank.
A Bug's Life? I mean,
okay, got it. Ants,
titular, and ants,
and
ants,
of course.
But I just read something because I'm so invested in like those dual movies where they always have the same premise coming out within like a month of each other or something.
Yeah,
and that one was truly out of spite. I just found out that Bug's Life and Ants. It was like a director from Disney went to make Ants and was like, "Well, they're making a movie about bugs. Somebody get me a script." And then they made one.
Right. Yeah.
It's like also when No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits came out. It's the exact same fucking movie.
Yeah. They exist in my brain as the same movie.
Like they are the same movie.
Yeah.
You could splice them together. I feel like you could. Just a lot of no strings in those films. Neither one.
Neither one.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show. If you like the show, means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.